Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Kyle, I got Brett with me, and we actually do have a very special guest today. It's really unexpected. So yesterday I was on a run and I got this word I thought was from the Lord, and it was a person's name. And I was like, what is this for? And I felt like the Lord said, ask this person to be on the podcast. And then first thing that came to mind was, does this person want to be on the podcast? And then the second was, are they available to come on the podcast? So I asked, and fortunately for us, she was available. So welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, Auntie Dale DeGucci. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hi, guys. It's good to be with you.
What's happening, Dale?
Hi, Kyle.
You're always Mama Dale to me because of Africa. So hey, hey, Mama right. Dale.
Mama Dale, Auntie Dale. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Right, so this past Sunday, we continued our series on Fruit of the Spirit, and Robert Harris gave a message on faithfulness, so we thought it would be really cool to have Dale come on and talk and share about faithfulness. And then a little bit later, she's going to be introducing actually what our church is going to be going through for the next few months as a whole church, and the small groups, and everything is going to be focused on one thing. And so she'll give a little bit of intro to that later, but first off, we wanted to start by talking about faithfulness. So, you know, this past Sunday, Robert gave a message that was geared around what it looks like to be faithful and have faith. And it was with the kids. And my kids actually came out with a lot of extra money.
A lot of zeros behind those digits, too.
Yeah. So they came out with a couple million dollars, you know, and Riley told me that the money was fake, though, because it had Uncle Robert's face on it.
Nothing gets by that girl, that's for sure.
I know, she was trying to call him out on stage. So, like I said, we are talking about faithfulness to start off our episode. So, Dale, was there anything that stood out to you in regards to faithfulness? Not necessarily in regards to the message, but just in regards to faithfulness as a topic. Is there something that stands out to you when you think about it?
Yeah, I guess for me, when I first hear the word faith, I first experienced it when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm. So that for me was the first time ever experienced faith. Mm. It's believing in a God that I've never seen, you know, believing in what his Bible is saying that is true. So when I accepted Christ on my own way back when, decades ago, that's when I first got introduced to putting my faith in somebody and trusting in somebody and seeing somebody that I've never seen, but I have full conviction in my heart. Mm. So that was my first exposure to faith.
Mm. Well, they're looking at me, so I guess it's my turn. Yeah, for me, that when I just think of faithful or faithfulness, it's Matthew 25. It's the parable of the talents, but it's the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm. And so that's had impact in my life at different times, but it's kind of like something to move towards. But it's also like the feeling of being rewarded from the Lord. Like you've been faithful, and he recognizes that and he honors that. But it's, so it has different layers to it for me, but that verse always kind of comes back when I think of faithful.
For me, I think in this season, there's a lot of, backing up, I feel like when I hear faithfulness, I agree with everything you guys have said. You know, believe in something you haven't seen. And I think it feels like it's black and white, like you either have faith or you don't. And while I think there's a lot of aspects of that to be true, I think in the past, I don't know how many years, my faith has really grown, but a lot of times it comes in a time of testing that faith. And so when I think of faithfulness, I think of kind of like, what does it look like to have greater faith? And sometimes that requires even more unknown, even more doubt, even more like circumstance that doesn't really make sense. But being able to then still believe or have that conviction, the resiliency or just the ability to be okay even in uncertainty, you know, kind of reveals a greater amount of faith, or you're able to see how God works and it instills a greater faith in you. And so I think it's another one of those seasons where, like, what does it look like to have more faith in this way? And so, yeah, personally, faithfulness, it's like, okay, it's this never ending, growing, always challenging, and experiencing more that God has for you.
I think for me, with the season that I've been in, and I've shared a little bit about this recently in the podcast, but I feel like when it comes to faithfulness, one of the things that I've been in awe of God about, you'll see why that comes in later. But anyway, one of the things that I've been just amazed at with the Lord is how faithful he is, even when we're not faithful, right? And so for me, I think that's been one of the things that he's been highlighting to me, is that even when I'm not faithful to him, he's faithful to me. And it's just kind of crazy to me and amazing that he's able to do that with the foreknowledge that I'm not going to be faithful in certain ways, right? Where whether it's my heart turns towards distractions or other things to try to find fulfillment, he remains faithful even though he knows that I'm going to move in those directions. And so it just, yeah, it keeps me like, wow, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so faithful. Like, how does he do that? And I think that's been one of the things that he's been kind of just reminding me of. It's just, yeah, the wow factor. So one of the cool things I always appreciate about Dale is that she always comes prepared. So she...
Yes, she's saying no right now. Yes, yes. We love that about you, Dale.
Yes, we do. We do love it and we do appreciate it. So she did come with some notes, and I did want to give her a chance to share some of those notes because I don't want her to feel like we were wasting her time that she put into this preparation. So Dale, would you like to share with us some of the notes that you brought?
Oh, you know, I didn't so much write notes. I just wrote certain Bible verses that really touched me about faith.
That's like, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for example, you know, I'm reading, I do my FaceTime every day ever since 2011.
Can you share with our listeners that don't know what FaceTime is, what that is?
Sure. In 2011, John and Evelyn Lowe spoke at one of our church retreats. So they taught FaceTime. So basically you read one whole passage, like Matthew 1 today, and then in a journal, I'll write what I like about it, what I don't like, what's a challenge, what's God's character like, and then what I sense. Mm-hmm. So then I've been doing that for a long time now, since 2011. So every day, to strengthen my faith, I pick up my Bible every morning and I read a chapter all by myself in my room. And then I jot down in a journal those things I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so recently I'm in Matthew, right? Today I did Matthew 27. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning of Matthew, probably in between, you see all these healings that Jesus did for people. Mm-hmm. He healed all kinds of things. And, you know, if people had faith, he healed them. I mean, it was just so touching for me. That I feel like that's why I think I love, you know, all of us love reading his word, because it strengthens my faith when I see examples in the Bible of people that are actually doing it. So there's one part in Matthew 13:58, and he was visiting a town that it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So that always captures my attention. Like, I feel like faith can bring healing to us, and unbelief can bring isn't good for us. So I just, whenever I read about faith in the New Testament, it just intrigues my heart. Like, oh, look at all these people. They have examples of being really faithful to the Lord, or putting their trust in him. It's not in themselves. So that's what FaceTime is about. That's why I like strengthening my faith. And lately it's about seeing his healing. He does healing for people. Right. Sometimes people suffer, though, too. Right. That doesn't mean they don't have faith. But I just love it when it said he couldn't do miracles because they had lack of faith. So there's just something about that topic that I, yeah, get drawn to. That's why I love spending time with them every day, because it's strengthening that faith in me, because I'm believing in him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that passage highlights that faith can unlock awesome things of the Lord, and even of understanding of who he is, his character, his power. But then it can also be a blockage, having the lack of faith. It can be just a barrier or something that where we just don't, we can't comprehend, or we can't then engage with him in those like supernatural or special ways. Thanks for sharing that verse.
You didn't sound like you were done, Kyle. I think you have more to share.
No, I'm good.
It actually makes me, I mean, this question might be very difficult to answer, but how do we then, or does someone, if they have a lack of faith, like how does that change? Because if you have a lack of faith, and maybe you don't experience God's miracle or his healing, or you don't experience some of those things, how would you say one is able to either compensate for that lack of faith, or either switches to then they now have faith? Because I feel like a lot of times in the Bible too, right, some of the miracles or whatever was that proof, or some of that was that switch for people to be like, oh, this dude is, you know, the Son of God, or this is, he is who he says he is, or oh my gosh, the person we've been waiting for is actually here. And there's other people that still doubted or lacked faith, but just in terms of, you know, I think there's situations or times that we probably lack faith, or we don't believe how we should. And so kind of how do you get from one place to the other if you're not going to maybe see?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because that's something that I feel like we all go through. Mm-hmm. There's seasons in our lives where we have much faith, but then there's seasons in our life where, because we're human, we're weak, right? And the flesh comes in. And I think for me, one thing that I do is when I lack faith, because there's times when you go through valleys that are just very difficult for you. And so for me, I have friends and prayer groups that actually meet me on a regular basis, and I'm telling them the areas that I struggle in or the areas that's on my mind. And it's really neat because these three gals at our church, they pray for me and they have the just faith words for me. Mm. And it really like lifts me up. So for me, just to answer you, Brett, if I was in a season where I lacked faith, which is totally normal, it's going to happen to everybody, right? We're not God, we're human beings. I would find friends that are faithful, that I can surround myself, that I could talk to. And then it's kind of like that stretcher bearer when somebody's the paralyzed, they bring him down on the mat. Like, that guy couldn't get to Jesus, those four friends dug a hole in the roof, put him down, and brought him to Jesus. So my answer would just be, find those friends that could bring you to Jesus.
Yeah, I think for me, when I think of that topic of moving from no faith to faith, the first thing that comes to mind is that we all have faith in something, right? So it's not necessarily going from no faith to faith, but it's what are we putting our faith in, right? So the world tells us to put our faith in our finances. The world tells us to put our faith in the things that we have or our accomplishments or different things. So a lot of times we put our faith in those things and not our faith in the Lord. And so it's not that we don't have faith at all. It's just that what are we putting our faith in? And it's moving our faith from those other things to moving our faith to the Lord, right? And so when I think of it that way, it's more not going from 0 to 100. It's more going from 100 in this area to 100 in that. It's like the shift of our faith as opposed to going from no faith to faith.
Yeah, I was going to say actually a similar thing. I think that's one aspect of it. But then it's challenging, because really I think that to get to the heart of it, then you have to have the foundation in truth. Mm. Like when you were describing the people that pray for you, they need to speak words of truth that have to be founded in God's word and his who he is, his character. And so then it's really being reminded of those, and then you have a choice, like, okay, I'm not feeling that, or I'm not experiencing it. My circumstances don't align with it, yet I have faith that that is true. So then that kind of is a way to shift away from the putting faith in like your circumstances or other things. And it's like, okay, no, I need to refocus or maybe realign with what the actual truth is. And it's hard in just the world we live in, because if things don't align that way, it's like, well, that's not true then. Mm-hmm. It's got to be more tangible and more, I don't know, something you can grasp. And so I think with a lot of the things with the Lord and that are truths in the Bible, they're things that are the unseen and the things that you can experience, but they're not always there and they're not always like that tangible, grab them and touch them type of thing.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of times where I think as a people, and especially in the world today, we don't experience some of those truths. So then there's a lack of faith. It's like, oh, well, I don't know if that's true, because whatever, you're not feeling it, you're not experiencing it. So then I think naturally, like as a human, then you go to rely on something else, because you're like, well, the proof is in this, or I'm able to experience it in this, whether that's God's truth or not. I think there's a lot of people that try to lean when they're like looking for something to hold on to or to stand on. You know, you search sometimes in the wrong areas or find things that you think are the truth or what can hold you up. And so then to me, there's like this gap where, yeah, their faith is put in something else. And so just trying to think about, okay, how can we shift those things? Because even in times when us as believers feel like we have a lack of faith, you know, I know some of the truth, but how do I kind of get my faith into the place that it should be?
Well, I think with that too, it depends what perspective or like what lens you're looking at the truths of the Bible in. Mm. Because sometimes you might think, based on the way we're raised in the Western world, we might think, no, that's not true, I don't experience it. But sometimes it's because we're expecting it a certain way.
Mm.
And really, it's just our viewpoint or our understanding doesn't align with actually, well, that's not really what the Bible says. We interpret it that way because that's the way we're raised and our mind's made to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that in my life looking backward as I've matured and my faith has increased. I look back and I'm like, oh, yeah, I looked at that totally different. And I guess part of it is I couldn't fully grasp it until I went through certain difficulties or things like that. So that's where, again, it's like having the people like Dale was talking about, having people to come along and speak into you during those tough times, because a lot of times in those tough times, your mind's not thinking clearly or correctly, your emotions are getting out of whack, and man, if you're just left by yourself, then you can get into some pretty tough spots.
Yeah, when you were talking, Brett, and you mentioned the word lean, I was like, oh, that there's actually a verse that kind of ties all this together, right? Which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight, right? And so kind of like you were saying, a lot of people do lean on our own understanding and the ways that we, whether it's incorrect view of it because the way we were raised, and so our understanding is distorted because of that, or just the voices that we're hearing from the world. I mean, we have so many inputs of information nowadays that we're getting so many messages out there, and so it's easy to kind of lean on some of those sometimes because we're just getting bombarded with it, and really the Lord wants us to trust him with our whole heart. And that's one of the things that's kind of one of our themes for this year as a church is, you know, wholehearted surrender, right? Trusting the Lord with our whole heart. And so as we step into that, as we have faith in the Lord with our whole heart, you know, we're looking for the Lord to make our path straight.
I mean, just to tie into Robert's message specifically, I really was encouraged by his sharing about his own testimony of having a season where he was doing a lot for the Lord. He was leading Bible studies at work. He was doing this, doing that. And yet he was confronted with being more in the secular world and having an opportunity to share about God. And then he chose not to because it was going to be uncomfortable or it would put him in a bad light, so to speak. And then how the Lord convicted him. And I thought it was really, I was really not just proud of him for sharing it, but I thought, oh, wow, how many of us have that where that's that part of faithful or faithfulness where it's like, oh, yeah, you feel like, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing all this. Yet then the Lord wants all of it. So like you're talking about the whole heart. And I thought he did a good job of explaining that's part of faithfulness is God wants us to be faithful in everything. Mm. And it's not an easy thing, and it's a constant thing that he wants us to journey towards. But I really appreciated how he shared that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when he used the term double life because, right, his version of double life isn't the same as what when I think of double life is, right? Let's say double life, when I think of it, it's like, okay, there's the life that you want everybody else to see, but then there's like the dark sin stuff that you want to hide, right? Like that's the double life. But what he's talking about is more just like, I'm doing all this stuff, which people can see, but then I also just not wanting to share my faith necessarily, right? So it's not like he's actively living in sin. It's something different. So I was like, oh, that's a little different take on that, what double life looks like. So Dale, would you like to share one more verse before we move on to the next?
Sure. One other faith verse that I really liked is about the armor of God. And it says Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So this shows me if, you know, you have the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword, you know, all the different weapons he have, but he gives us that shield of faith, right, to defend ourselves. And it says we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I mean, every day you sense sometimes the enemy after you, but it says if you put that shield of faith up, it can shield you from all those flaming darts. So it just always encourages me like, okay, I have that faith sword with me, the shield, and I need to use it daily throughout my life. And one way I do that is by prayer, because I feel like praying is a weapon. So a lot of times in the morning, I was telling Damon earlier, I like to go walking really early in the morning. And it's at those times when I doing all my prayers, you know, in English, and then the gift of tongues as well, because I feel like, I'm extinguishing certain darts that are hitting not just my family, but different people that share with me. That's where I kind of intercede. And I feel like intercession is a weapon to the Lord when you're asking him certain things for help. So that verse, Ephesians 6:16, always touches me. He gives us all the weapons to fight what we need to.
Yeah, I love the imagery because I love how it talks about it's the shield that's going to protect, but then it extinguishes those things. So it's not like those things then are still active. But yeah, when we activate our faith and walk in faith, that it's a powerful. It's a weapon, I guess. It's a defensive weapon, but it's so powerful.
It makes me think of the movie 300.
I thought of that too.
I was thinking the same thing.
Where Gerard Butler has his shield, and they talk about how the enemy will shoot so many arrows, it'll block out the light. So then in the scene that they're fighting, all of the 300 soldiers have the shields above their head, and then the arrows start coming in. You just see like the light like kind of get blocked out, but then they're not getting hit because they're holding their shields over their head. And he starts laughing. I think I'm remembering it correctly. He starts laughing, and then they kind of asking why, and then he says, because they said like they have enough arrows to block out the light. He said, then we'll just fight in the shade. So it's like not a bother to him. So it's that idea of like, it's extinguishing all the attacks from the enemy and saying like, no, I'm still good.
There's another scene in that movie that they're talking about the shields that stood out to me was he was explaining the importance of the shield. It's not just for you. It's to help protect the person standing next to you. Mm. Right. And when they're all standing together, there's like a reinforcement of the shields because there's one in front of the other. So then your shield helps to protect the person next to you. Their shield helps to protect you. There's just this fortified shield when they're all standing there together with the shield. So I think that's a good picture for us too. It's just, you know, as we move in faith, as we use our faith to extinguish, you know, the enemy's attack, we're actually helping the person next to us too. And when they're living in faith, they're helping us too. So it's a cycle that helps, we can help each other and we can walk together in.
Damon, I like that you brought that up because that's how I feel with all of you guys, like with the directors and the staff. Like, you know, when I share with my family members, actually, I always tell them that, yeah, we're there and we're there to protect each other and fight for each other, believe in each other, help each other. Like, it's good to receive criticism because we're not perfect. We need other people's lens to help us fight better. So when you brought that up, like, we're there to protect, that's how I see our church staff and our directors. So, you know, the directors we meet every second and, well, first and third, right? But every time I go and every time I come back and with the staff as well, I feel that protection, and then I want to protect. So I just like how the Lord gives us each other because, you know, the more, the merrier, right? The more we're together, then we can combat together. We can't do it alone because then you could get attacked easier.
Yeah, the more, then the bigger the shield is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of like the picture that we had last week in our multi, or not, it, that was not multi-gen. It was the, it was when we talked about multi-gen, and it was about the lion, right? Yes. What the lion tries to do, the lion tries to separate from the herd so that he can attack, right? And so when all of the, I think it was the buffalo, right? The buffalo were walking together. Excuse me. The buffalo were walking together, they were safe. But once the lions were able to separate one from the crowd, that's when they got attacked, right? And so as a church family, we get to continue to walk together. And as we walk together, we protect each other. We keep each other safe. And the enemy is going to continue to try to separate us, to take us away from the group so that he can then attack. So that's another thing that I think is pretty amazing about who God is that he has this picture for us to walk together so that we can protect each other and that we can walk together in that way. But I do want to transition to another thing that Dale's really excited to talk about because, you know, she's kind of taking the lead and being the champion for this next season of our church. And it's going to be, we're going to be going through a curriculum that is going to be spoken about in the sermons. It's going to be in our small groups. It's going to be, we're just going to dive really deep into it. And it's pretty cool. We've went through it as a staff together and kind of discerned if this was going to be a good season for our church. And we felt like it is something that our church would benefit from. And so we are going to go into it. And so Dale, would you like to introduce what the next season is for our church?
Right. So the next season that will be spoken on from the pulpit from February till end of March, and then in the small groups from February to May is going to be The Awe of God by John Bevere. And basically The Awe of God just talks about what does it mean to have a healthy fear of the Lord and to separate what fear of the Lord means from the spirit of fear. Because when people hear fear, all kinds of things come to their mind. So I feel like from the pulpit, from the sermons, and then from our discussion in our small groups, that's what we're going to tackle. But I think the biggest thing I love about it is we're going to get to learn more who God is, how big he is, how mighty he is, how loving he is, how forgiving he is, like how big and mighty, because he's just not a person. I mean, he's not, we can't combine him with just somebody that I'm sitting next to. He's like king, majesty, ruler. I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So it's kind of like, that's what I think excites me the most about the series is that word, the awe of God. We're going to learn how to have the awe of God instead of a watered down version of what we want. Because sometimes we read scriptures and certain scriptures we don't like because, you know, it's not matching how I want to live my life. But instead, it's the other way around, right? We go to scripture because he's doing it to protect us and keep us safe and love us and keep us in alignment. That's why he gives us the rules, is because he loves us. So I'm just so excited about the series, about knowing who he is and then realizing, yeah, I don't have to worry about things. You know, there's a lot of things to fear in this world, but if I have that healthy fear of the Lord, knowing how mighty he is, then it says all the other fears are just at his feet and at his cross. So, Yeah, thank you, Damon. But yeah, I'm very, very excited about all the small groups doing it and it being spoken from the pulpit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting diving into that healthy fear of the Lord, because I think a lot of us haven't spent a lot of time like actually pondering what that means, because I think you're right, because we hear fear and we're like, nah, I don't want to go to that place, so that doesn't seem good or doesn't seem safe, you know, and I think we miss out on certain aspects of the Lord that really actually help us in our maturity and our faith, and would actually protect us from a lot of poor choices and other things just by really understanding what His holiness is like, what just having reverence for Him. I mean, it's gonna be challenging for sure, but I'm actually really excited too. I'm digging into session 3. I'm going to be speaking that week. And so, yeah, just even the analogy that John Bevere uses of God wants us to be on a path, on a road. And on one ditch, it's lawlessness. And the other ditch is legalism. So it's basically like too much grace and you drift over to the lawlessness, because then, well, it doesn't matter because grace and I can do whatever I want if you go to that extreme. But then legalism, it's too much about what the do's and don'ts, and like you're fearing punishment, and you don't want to live that way either. God has those are like the guardrails, but that's not where He wants us to operate and wants us to. He wants us to journey on the path, which is a balance. So it's like the truth and grace type of things we've brought up in this conversation a lot, right, Brett? But I think it's really having even a deeper, fuller understanding of that tied in with the Lord's holiness, and it's like, oh, I don't know. It just brings a different weight in a mm-hmm. good way. I mm-hmm. think sometimes people, they're going to be like, I don't know if I want this weight, but as they sit with it, it's going to be really beneficial for them and their faith journey.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to jumping into it with small groups and the way that we're approaching it, because we did a little bit different with the staff, and it was challenging for me, but in a good way. I think it does make you think about more of the full picture of who God is. I think a lot of times, and it's not wrong, but a lot of times we kind of see God, or we see Jesus as, you know, he's like cuddling with a sheep and all the kids are around him, and it's very like warm mm-hmm. and it's like a kind picture, and you're like, oh, he's so sweet. And so I think associated with that is a lot of that grace, right? Like, He's there for us, and you know, He loves us and He cares for us, and all those things are true. But being able to also know like how much power and might that He has, like, it's, I mean, I can't comprehend it, but just to have that stark distinction that, like, no, He's the God of God, He's the King of Kings, like Auntie Dale was saying, like, there's a majesty, a holiness about it that is greater than in what you think. And so the analogy or picture that I kind of had was like, sometimes when you see like a bear, you're like, oh, the bear's so cute and fuzzy, or like, mm-hmm. I just want to hug it. But like, a bear is also way faster, way stronger, way more fierce than you think it is. And so it's able to have like both of those things. And so I feel like for this picture of God, obviously God is way greater than a bear, but I just think sometimes we get caught up with one side of things where it's understanding too, like there's this whole other side of God where I think that healthy fear kicks in, and understanding that and having awe and reverence is important for our faith.
Yeah. I think one of the terms that we're going to constantly be hearing about over the next few weeks and few months is the fear of God. Right. And, the series we're talking about is called The Awe of God, but it's based on this premise that John Bevere continuously talks about, which is fear of the Lord, which is constantly in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It says the fear of the Lord is the start of all wisdom, I believe, right? And so he's constantly in the Bible talking about having the fear of the Lord and understanding the fear of the Lord. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're understanding it and we're looking at it through the right lens. Like Kyle was mentioning earlier, a lot of times when we think of fear, we think of being afraid or being scared, and that, you know, negative emotions are tied with that. But having the fear of the Lord is actually a good thing. And so what this series is going to do is going to help us to understand what that looks like, what it looks like to have a healthy, proper fear of the Lord, and some of the benefits to having that too. I was talking and meeting with Pastor Sam a few weeks ago, maybe it was a few months ago, and he said that this reading this book was actually life transforming for him. And he said one of the reasons is that he felt like the Lord gave him this picture, and the picture was of a river, and the water flowing in the river was like what the Lord wanted to do through him. Mm-hmm. And he said, but there's two banks. And so there's one bank, which is the love of God. And then the other bank is the fear of God. Mm-hmm. And so he said, he's focused so much on love of God for so long that this bank has grown and grown and grown, and it's gone higher. So the water that's moving, it just keeps spilling onto the other bank. So it's moving forward, but there's some of the water that's spilling out onto the other bank. And what he said he felt like the Lord told him when he was going through this book was he's building up the fear of God bank. And so now what's happening is the water is just rushing through this kind of canyon now because the banks have been built up and the water is able to be directed in a straight path.
It can handle more volume too.
Yeah, it can handle more. It can move faster just because it's not spilling out. It's not, the water has a definite direction that's being guided by the two mm-hmm. banks. And so I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool picture. So, you know, if that's something that you've been experiencing and it feels like, oh, I feel like I'm growing, but I feel like the Lord has so much more for me. Maybe this is an area that the Lord wants to grow you in so that the things that he's doing in you can just, there could be more volume and it can also go faster because we've built up so long in our church focusing on the love of God, which is good and it's important. And that's why it's one of the two banks, because we need to build that bank up. Mm-hmm. But we also don't need to neglect the other bank because the Lord wants to use both of them to, for them to grow in us so that he can use us to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, Damon, I really like that because even what Brett was sharing, like Jesus came as a lamb, right? Sacrificial lamb. But when he comes back for his return, he's coming back as a lion. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the material, the awe of God is very, it'll have us be at Catalyst very balanced. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to all just be love of God. I mean, you want to feel the love of God and experience it because it's very transforming. But there's truths in the Bible that talk about his judgment. Mm-hmm. Like when he returns, we're all going to be at judgment seat. Mm-hmm. All of our intentions, good or bad, are going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. And that's really, it's good to know, like that humbles me.
Mm-hmm.
That
sure.
really mm-hmm. humbles sure. me. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Dale, what are you going to project for people? Mm-hmm. How are you living your life? You know, at the end of your life, what do you want to be known for? Mm-hmm. It's like, so when I hear of that judgment seat, I don't get scared. I just feel like, oh my gosh, he's going to come home for me. But mm-hmm. parts of me thinks, okay, hey, you know, everything's going to get revealed. Mm-hmm. Things that maybe you were hiding or your intentions, maybe they weren't right, but it doesn't bother me. I love it because I want to be as real, as honest, as humble as I can, like Christ is. Mm-hmm. So when I read that in the book, because it does talk about judgment, that he's coming, some people might think, oh, I don't want to hear about judgment. I don't want to hear, maybe not everybody will make it to heaven. Like those things are hard conversations. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like to know the fear of the Lord is to know all of God and his truth. He does everything based out of love. Mm-hmm. Everything is from a loving perspective. Like even the topic of hell, people probably don't like to talk about it, but he doesn't want anybody to go there. That's why he's taking so long to come back. He's trying to use people to reach people still. Because mm-hmm. I feel like his heart is for every single person. So the whole awe of God, it's like that whole gamut. It's very balanced. Sometimes you might read a passage in scripture that might, you know, seem offensive to you, but Jesus, you know, he said things that were very offensive mm-hmm. to people. And so as Christians too, at the end, right? The Bible says we're going to get persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wants to hear that? But it's in there. Like as believers, we're going to suffer. Like if we never read those verses and we never know, I rather know what's coming. So in my heart, I could kind of prepare, like, hey, Dale, just live a humbled and surrendered life because God's got you in the end. This is not your home. Heaven's your home. it always, the Bible says, earth is your footstool, just reaching to heaven. So I feel like, you know, came as a lamb, coming back as a lion. I love that imagery and everything in between. I want to get to know the Lord in that way. So that's why, yeah, very excited about how it's going to shake things up, because I want to learn the whole Bible, not just what I want to hear, because it's comforting me. I want to know that cutting truth, because I feel like that is what can mature us, like, as believers.
Yeah, I really feel it's the fullness of God, right? And I think we all have a side that we gravitate towards, or even it's just easier. So you want to just stay in that area, whether it's the harder stuff. It's like, yeah, that, I like that. It keeps me sharp. But then you don't have enough of the love. Or it's the love side. Yeah, I like to feel the warmth and the cozy, but we need the sharpness too. So, no, I'm excited. I think this is going to be a good balance for our church. And we haven't gone to something to this extent. I think for this duration too, we've had, you know, different pockets here and there, but I think this study is going to be really good at just presenting that side. And I think really God wants us to understand the fullness of who he is.
I think it could also seem a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage everybody that it's not about finding the right answer per se. You know, going through this with the staff, I was actually in a couple of discussion small groups with Pastor Barry. And even in our discussions with Pastor Barry, there's things where it's like we have to wrestle with and figure out. Things that aren't just plain cut and dry, where it's just like, okay, that's the right answer. There's things where it's okay, understanding God's character, knowing the context, how you see things, like, you have to sift through it and work through it. And I think in that is also where we get a greater understanding of God, because it's not just, okay, he's just like that, and then I don't have to pay attention to it anymore. But it's to understand, no, there is a side of it that is loving, or there is a side of it that is truth. There is a side of it that complements this other side where you're like, how does that work? Or I don't understand that. And I think that's the part that is the challenging part, is you're going to have to dive into it, think about it, pray about it, discuss it to have a greater understanding. And so I think Pastor Barry said this on our small group leaders meeting, but it's like you got to chew on the meat. You're not just, it's not milk where you're just, okay, that's it. But it's like to eat a good steak, you actually got to chew on it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good analogy for this series that we're going to going through. It's people are going to, we're going to have to start chewing on and say, okay, how does this work, and dive into it and do it together. So I think in the small groups, it'll be really awesome.
I thought you had a verse to read, but I think, sorry, I was speaking to Damon. But yeah, for Brett, I think what you're describing there too is, we have to take it beyond just the knowledge part too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be talking about it, and we're going to be hopefully expanding our church's knowledge and understanding of it. But then it's not a quick fix either. It's like, oh, how does this play out? Oh, like this is like it's the long game, right? It's not like, oh, I understand it. I'm good. I know how to operate now and everything's fine. It's like, no, this aspect then starts filtering into some other areas or some ways maybe that you've been either seeing God or understanding, or then responding and living out. So then it's like, oh, if I have to incorporate this new facet, then that means I might have to shift things a little bit. And sometimes they might just be subtle, but some might be more drastic. So yeah, it's going to be challenging.
So everybody's got to buckle up.
I do have a verse to share, but I think I'm going to save it for the closing. But Brett, as you were talking about being in a group with Pastor Barry, I think, well, so in a few of those meetings, I was in a group with Pastor Barry too. And I think one of the things that I appreciate about him and how he was discerning the series and how we're going to do it is he's really trying to focus on what's the best way for him to present this material to our people that can be received, and as well as that it can be received, but it can also be transformative too. And so it's not just, okay, I'm going to copy exactly what John Bevere says and give it to our people. You know, he's really trying to wrestle with it and say, what are our people going to be able to take in and receive? And how does this align with who we are as a people, as a church? And so there's a deep discernment process for him. And it's not just like, oh, we're going to do Of God and I'm going to follow exactly what John Bevere says. And, you know, what he's saying is gospel. There are aspects of what he's talking about that are really good and really transformative. And Pastor Barry's really been trying to discern, you know, how can we as a church grow from this material? And what are the areas that we need to focus on? Or what are the areas that we need to kind of dive deeper in from the pulpit to help our people to understand it in a deeper way?
What a good guy.
And I think that's good too, because whenever we read material, resource, or even hear somebody give a message, we're all supposed to discern, right? We're all supposed to get our Bibles, discern, is this line up with what I'm reading about who God is or who he says? So I really like that. Just common sense for everybody.
It's a good
whatever
reminder.
Speaker, podcast, sermon, message, you know, we're all supposed to discern for ourselves, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, we are running up a little bit on time. So before we sign off, Dale, I wanted to see if there's anything that you wanted to leave our church with before we end our episode.
Yeah. Just as far as the series, one thing quote I really liked was this. It says, men who fear God face life fearlessly. Men who do not fear God end up fearing everything. So I just wanted to end with that. Just figure out what that means as you go through the series. And God's going to be with us, and he's leading the way, so we're very excited.
So like I said, I did feel like I had a verse that I wanted to close us with, and I think it gives us a picture of what it looks like to have the fear of the Lord as well as the love of God. And so this is from Isaiah chapter 6. It's one of my favorite
passages.
It's one of my favorite verses, but it's more than one verse. So, yes, it's one of my favorite passages. And, so starting in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Yeah, I just really like the way that the picture of that what is going on in that scene with Isaiah entering the Lord's throne room, and just the weight of the Lord's presence is like shaking the doorposts, and it's, you know, the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And just this picture of Isaiah, it's like not even that he necessarily did anything wrong, but just the presence of the Lord caused him to say, woe is me, I'm unclean, right? But the love of the Lord comes, and, you know, the angel brings the coal and touches his lips and says, your sin has been atoned for because the Lord loves you, right? And how that transformed him from this woe is me to here am I, send me, Lord, right? And the transformative power of the love of God. And so, yeah, I just really felt like it was a cool picture of these two areas that we've been talking about today, which is, you know, fear of the Lord and the love of God, and what that can do in our lives too. So thanks again, Dale, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to going through Awe of God.
Are you going to come back on again?
Oh, I'd love to. And then maybe I'll come with Pastor Barry.
Oh, all right.
I'll give up my seat for Pastor Barry.
We can actually accommodate five people. We've done it before.
Yeah. Okay. So
awesome.
She's bringing friends next time. So yes, we will look forward to bringing her back and with Pastor Barry for one of the episodes where we talk about awe of God. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be going through that on the podcast as well. So we're going to do a deep dive, small groups, podcasts, sermons, everything's going to be surrounding awe of God. So we are looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to diving in as a whole church family. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.